the house that we lived in, there wasn't any installation there. And there were only two stoves in the house, one in the living room and the kitchen, the cook stove. Us boys, each of us had a morning to make the fire. We had to get up in the morning and make the fire. What we did, we always made sure that we had plenty of kindling, plenty of dry wood, because if it got wet, boy, I'll tell you, it was a problem. But anyhow, we always made sure that we brought in plenty of wood and it was dry. We'd get up and make the fire. In those days, when the fire went out and you went to bed, there was no fire in the house. And it was down to freezing and below, so you can just imagine what we went through those days. Sometimes we would wake up in the morning. We always had a bucket there for drinking water and a dipper in it. Sometimes it'd be ice on the water in our drinking water bucket, so you know how cold it was in that house. And what we would do a lot of times, before we went to bed when it was real cold, we would warm bricks on the stove, and then we would put them to our feet at night in the bed to kind of keep us warm. That's the living conditions. And like I say, those houses weren't insulated. You could see cracks here and cracks there. And in the wintertime, we would take around the windows, we'd stuff old stockings or rags or something, anything in there to keep that cold air out. I'll tell you what, those were the days, and I don't know whether the youngsters this day and time could have went through that. I wonder about it sometimes. I talk to my kids about it, and they can't believe the things that I was telling them, but that's the way it was, and I lived it. By the way, the school, once we graduated from Dunbar and Chelsea, we came to Claremore to go to school.
And I want to get into that. In your house, did you have electricity and plumbing?
I'm glad you mentioned that. There wasn't any electricity. There wasn't any water. There wasn't any plumbing. There wasn't a telephone. We had to carry our water a couple of blocks away. As a white lady that lived a couple of blocks from us, from the black community, her name is Mrs. Martin. She had a hydrant outside. We didn't have a All of the utilities only went to the white part of town. It didn't come down to the black community, which was still in the city limits. But they did not put electricity and water down there until a long period after that. We would pack water from Mrs. Martin's house for drinking water. And when we did our washing, our clothes, there was a creek that run down through the community. And that creek had nice clear water in it, and that's what we used that to wash. And we used homemade soap, lye soap. We always butchered a hog every year, and you take that grease and lye, put it in a big pot and put it outside. You make a fire and you put this big pot over it, and you put this lye and pork drippings in there and stir it. And I don't know what else Mom put in it. But we didn't even take a bath with that soap. That was lye soap, but we didn't even take a bath with that soap. By the way, during that time when we were up at Chelsea, I like to talk about that, you know, and give all the information I can about it, because there's a lot of things that happen that a lot of people don't believe. But what we did, every winter we butchered a hog. And when we butchered that hog, we didn't have a smokehouse or anything to smoke them like they do now, you know. We had a shed. Well, when we would butcher that hog, we would take that salt and salt it down. That's to preserve it. It would stay there and keep all winter until spring. But when you salted it, whenever you went to eat it, you had to boil the salt out of it before you cooked the meat, because you couldn't eat it with salted. Sometimes we would go out there to the shed to get some meat, and when we'd go out there, we'd seen what rats had been eating on one end of it. Well, all we did was just cut that part off and just go ahead on with it. It didn't affect it, because they couldn't stand it. It's too salty for them, too. But we boiled the salt out of it. But anyhow, those days were back in the days where food and everything was rationing. You had to have war ration stamps to buy anything, gas, groceries, everything. You had to have stamps. I've got some of those stamp books that I kept that we used back then. You couldn't buy anything, gasoline, clothes, everything. And that was back during the war. Whenever you got loaves of bread back then, they didn't slice them. They came to you whole. They didn't slice the bread. If you didn't have a bread knife or somebody to slice it, we just tore it off in chunks. That's the way we did it at the table. And margarine, your oleo that we used, it wasn't colored like it is now. It was like Crisco shortening, and they put a package of yellow food coloring in there, and you had to stir it in there to make it yellow. So that's the way the margarine came then.
Yeah.
Back during the war.
December 7th, 1941. Do you remember that day? Pearl Harbor?
That was the Pearl Harbor bombing, yeah. Right. After the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, then we got into war with them. That's when this war ration, all of this stuff came out, where everything was rationed. In Prague, they had what they call the powder plant over there in Prague, where they made ammunition and powder for the service. Now, a lot of people worked there, and gas was rationed. You could only get so much gas. Now, all of the guys that was working, they got more gas than anyone. Then the farmers, they got a share of it more. Then the people that wasn't working, they just got barely enough to keep them going. They didn't get a whole lot of gas. But everybody had a sticker on their window when they went to the service station, well, they called them gas station. They had a sticker on the window like an E, a F, a G, and that let the attendant know how much gas that he could get. He also had his stamp with him. That's how that was. And by the way, as a creek that ran through the community there, oh, I don't know, it didn't have a name that I know of. It wasn't a deep creek, but it had some fairly deep places in it, about waist deep, and we used to fish in there and catch perch and little catfish and this and that to eat. We made our own fishing poles. We didn't buy no hooks and all of that stuff. We made our own. But if it rained a lot, this creek would rise, and we'd have to get out. Now, of course, it never did get in our house, but it got all around our house. I never shall forget, my uncle lived there, too, beside us. We all got in his car, and we'd drive uptown where the higher ground was till the water went down. He always had a little pig he raised. We'd put the pig in the floorboard in the back seat, and we'd be in the back seat with the pig and everything. And we'd go uptown at the white community till the water went down, and then we'd come back home. But it never did get inside of our house. That's a blessing that it never did get inside of the house. But it would rise, it would get up, because it wasn't very deep. And all of that runoff water that came from uptown and above, it couldn't hold it. And it just flooded everything.